Our buddy Adam Vinga just tweeted out that Carolina Hurricanes Alexander Semien gets a delayed game penalty for having his jersey tucked. Uh-oh. He wrote, it begins.
Russians do not tuck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. This is a Washington Capitals podcast. We're going to talk anything and everything about the Washington Capitals, puck, the NHL, hockey in general. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Thanks for joining us this week. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and follow my co-host, Coach Dan Hayden, on Twitter as well at WTP Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Happy to actually be talking about hockey, and that's just the off season. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This is a weird feeling. We missed it last year. We're actually talking about preseason hockey. We didn't get like any of that last year, especially this time of year.
In September. It's crazy.
It's a new feeling. It's new, but it's vintage at the same time. I like this feeling. It's like, you know, hockey hipsters all over the place. But hey, man, here we are. We're actually going to talk about some preseason hockey. The Capitals have already had three games up in Belleville outside of or in Canada. It was kind of an attraction game there. They've been in Philadelphia, and then they've been in Baltimore. They haven't even hit home yet. But what have you seen so far from these would-be Capitals on the three games?
Well, I like that I've seen sort of that Oates kind of has the lines he wants together. I mean, he has Johansson, Backstrom, and Ovechkin together early on. I actually really like that because they didn't have a lot of time last season to really get set up. I mean, last season they didn't even have a full season to get set up, and then Johansson was out for a while, and he started the season really poor, and then they finally started to come on after he came back from injury. So they really haven't had that much time to work together. So it's nice to see that them getting this time in the offseason to work together to sort of get that chemistry going. We know Ovechkin and Backstrom already have that. Johansson's got to sort of fit in there too, and we'll see how that is going forward. The second line hasn't really had an opportunity to work together because, I mean, we don't know what the second line is going to be, but we know what the second line is going to likely be. You're going to probably have Erat on the left, Grabowski in the middle, and Brouwer on the right. They haven't really had a lot of time to work together because Grabowski hasn't been there. I believe he was cleared to be able to get visa issues, and he was finally able to come and work with the team a couple of days ago. And so he went out, and I believe he warmed up with the team before the game in Baltimore, but he didn't play. And then I believe he's going to be playing in their next game. So that'll be nice to see him in a cap sweater. Other than that, I mean, we've been seeing a lot of up-and-coming guys. The thing is with this team is they don't really have any spots available aside from, you could say, two or three defensive spots, one of those being a healthy scratch on most nights, and maybe a spot on the fourth line or even third line potentially available to a young guy. But other than that, a lot of these guys are playing to see if they end up in Hershey or Reading, or even some of these guys like Nathan Walker are looking for a contract.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting about Grabowski. The big thing, the first game in Belleville last Saturday, he was actually able to see the team and meet with the team and skate with them, but he wasn't allowed to play for them because of all these visa issues. So he at least got to contact Adam Oates and kind of be on the ice with Adam Oates for at least a warm-up or even before the warm-up, just a practice because of these visa issues. He wasn't able to come into the U.S. So luckily enough, that is all cleared up now, and he is at Kettler. He did practice in Baltimore, so he definitely needs to get into the groove of working with Erat and Brouwer, because this is really going to be a big line for the Capitals. Grabowski really did solve a big glaring mark against the Capitals of that second line center, because they were saying Ribeiro's gone, we're going to put in Brooks Like, and we talked about this on the last episode, and you didn't believe Brooks Like was really going to be ready for that, and I was just kind of like, well, you know what, he's a hard worker, he's a hard player. Let's see how he does, if he does anything. But I think everybody knew Grabowski was going to be in here eventually. These younger guys, though, there's a lot of good talent, really, with the Capitals right now. Of course, we would be really, really terrible podcasters if we didn't mention Tom Wilson. And the way that everybody's been talking, I tweeted this you yesterday, the way everyone's been talking about Wilson, it feels like watching Castaway over and over again, because everything in this preseason is Wilson, Wilson, Wilson.
Wilson! I can't! Wilson! Wilson!
That's the big question mark right now. What to do with this guy? We'll get into a couple other guys right after this, but let's stick on Wilson just for a little bit. He's got a big question mark just to the fact that the dude is good. I mean, you can see he is built for the NHL. He's ready for the NHL, if you ask me. He seems like he's the type of guy that'll get out there on the ice, give it his all, and you want that for this team because he is a big powerhouse. I'm a huge fan of Tom Wilson. The kid's 19 years old, and he's throwing his weight around, and you can tell he's hungry. But the thing is, like we talked about, or you brought it up earlier, cap space is the big thing with the Capitals right now. Before the Baltimore game, they mentioned that they only had $650,000 of cap space right now. And Tom Wilson is guaranteed a contract at his draft level at $1.3 million. So if they decide to keep him up with the Capitals, they need to move some money around and they need to trade out someone else or move someone out of here, out of the Capitals lineup. Otherwise, because of that entry-level contract, he can't just sit down in Hershey and wait to be called up. He's going to have to then go back to the OHL with the Plymouth Whalers. So really, the big question mark with him is, do you bring him in now and move somebody else out, or do you wait a year, have him go back to the minors, or the minors of the minors, and then work out a contract issue after this season? I'm going to be sad if he doesn't make this team, but this is the business of the NHL. So if they don't have the money to pay him, they don't have the money to pay him.
Yeah. Any other year, you can almost guarantee him a roster spot with the way he's been playing. But with the salary cap the way it is and the way the lineup could potentially look, the question that becomes, where does he fit in? I mean, they were talking before about the fact that, do you want him to be getting, you know, maybe 10 to 15 minutes a night in D.C., or do you want him to be getting 20 to 25 minutes a night in the OHL? What's better for his development? So they're going to have to decide first and foremost which is more important for his development. If they think playing in the NHL is the best thing for him, then I think there will be a way to find the way to fit him under the cap space. Now, you could go and move out a guy like a Chimera, whose contract isn't that high, but that would give you enough space. But in the end, you still wouldn't have that much cap space overall when you keep Wilson around. I don't hate on the guy, but I still think that Joel Ward is the guy you want to trade out and replace him with Tom Wilson. I think Wilson could start out nicely on the fourth line, potentially move his way up as the season goes on if he performs. But I think he brings the same skill set that Ward does at not only a younger body, but just at a cheaper rate, at a guy that has a lot of potential that you want to be part of your team in the future. And I think he's the perfect guy to – Wilson's the perfect guy to replace Joel Ward. I like what Ward brings to the team. I think he's got a great skill set, but I just – it's too much money. His cap hit is $3 million a year. It's too high for the limited offensive talent that he has. If you're giving a guy $3 million, he's got to bring more to the table offensively than Joel Ward does, unfortunately. So I think you can move – if you find a way to move him out, which I think is going to be hard to do, I think they missed their chance to get rid of him easily by cutting him in the offseason using one of the compliance buyouts. They used one on Jeff Schultz. I would have liked to see the other one on Joel Ward, but they didn't do that. If they don't want to move Ward, but they still want to keep Wilson around and maybe they move Chimera, then I could see – you know, I like to see them move maybe Michael Neuwirth. He's got $2.5 million. I can see you moving him out, which is a high contract for a guy who's probably going to be your backup. I mean, you got to think Braden Holtby is going to be your number one goaltender going forward. So you can move Neuwirth out, maybe move Neuwirth and Joel Ward, and you have a lot more cap space then. You bring up Grubauer or another goalie, doesn't matter. But I'd love to see them find a way to keep Tom Wilson on the team because I'm not really sure what's better for his development in the end. You know, you could potentially send him back to the OHL and that could actually stunt his development by not playing against the better talent. I'd like to see him with the Caps. I think he certainly hack it. He can go with his team. See him fourth line, right wing, pit him on a line with Beagle and Chimera. I think that actually would be really good for him going forward. So I'd like to see them move out Joel Ward and be able to keep Tom Wilson around.
Yeah, I would like to see Tom Wilson, but it's not Moneyball, it's Money Puck at this point to see where he's going to fit and where he can go. I think if you do send him back to the minors, he will get stunted and you will affect the growth of this guy because he's ready. I mean, you just look at him, even if I know it's only preseason, but you look at this guy's talent on the ice, this dude is ready for the NHL. He's a powerhouse. He loves this game. I want to see this guy play more in a Caps jersey. I don't want him to see him go back to Plymouth, but we'll see what GM does. Let's talk about a few other guys. Nathan Walker, man, this is a huge one. First Aussie, you know, looking for his Australian guy, looking for an NHL contract. I was very impressed with him in the Baltimore game. He had a great lineup, a great assist for Tom Wilson's goal in the Baltimore game. You know, Walker to Wilson, that was a beauty of a play. Those guys worked well together. Nathan Walker, I don't see him making the Capitals right away, but at least getting this guy a contract, because you can tell he really wants to play hockey here. And I would like to see him go down to Hershey and see what else he can do down there.
I think he's brought enough to the table that they could offer him a contract and stick him in Hershey, see what he can do. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think it'd be a great story. Maybe the Caps need a call up at some point during the year for the fourth line, somebody to get, you know, 5 to 7 minutes one night just in case, because somebody's got a minor injury that they have to miss a game. You call him up. It's a nice story for him. First Australian player to ever be in the NHL, and then you send him back down to Hershey. It's a nice thing to do. But I do think I honestly wouldn't be surprised at the end that they end up offering him a contract. And if the Caps don't and they cut him, I wouldn't be surprised if some other team picked him up and put him in their minor leagues.
Yeah, he really has shown a lot in this preseason. So this is weird talking about, you know, we're talking about Castaway with Tom Wilson, but now we got Nathan Walker. Usually I'm talking about Walkers closer to October 13th when The Walking Dead comes back. But
that's a good show.
Yeah, great show right there. But hey, Walkers in September during preseason hockey, I'm cool with that. Two other names I want to bring up before we move on from just these rookies. Stan Galiev. He's really shown a lot. He showed a lot in the Belleville game, and I was really impressed with his work. He was a guy that he's been in the Caps developmental system for a while now. He had his first season with Hershey, and even though he was one of the top prospects last year, he didn't do well in Hershey, and he got demoted down to the Reading Royals. Once he got to the Reading Royals, he really flourished and showed that he was a great player, and he helped them win the Kelly Cup. So this guy, it looks like he's ready for Hershey again. It seems like he was able to take this offseason and really train the American way of playing hockey. So I think he's going to be good for Hershey. But, you know, Adam Oates had to be impressed because he gave Stan Galiev the number one slot in the shootout in Belleville.
Yeah, that was interesting that he gave him the opportunity. I believe, didn't he also do it in Baltimore? What's with all these shootouts in the preseason, by the way, in the overtimes? Will you stop giving your teams more of an opportunity to get somebody injured? Quit it. Just end the freaking game after the third period, which was 24 minutes in Baltimore, which was funny, after Ovechkin broke Baltimore Arena.
We'll talk a little bit more about Baltimore Arena. We definitely have to bring that up in just a little bit. That was dangerous. You get everyone you can off the ice in Baltimore because that place looked like it was about to fall apart.
It was a little dicey. But to get back to Stanislav, you know, I like what the guy brings to he could bring to the team and he brings to the minors. The thing is, he's never been able to make that step after the ECHL. Last year, you know, he played great in with the Royals, and then he went up to Hershey, and all of a sudden it was just like he forgot how to play hockey. So then they sent him back down. He played great again. I believe they brought him back up, and he didn't do well again. He's got to be able to make that jump. Now, there are a lot of players that have a lot of potential that can't make that jump. So we'll see if this guy can finally figure out how to make that jump and to play at a higher level. You know, it'll be one of those interesting things to see. I do think he has the talent to be able to play in Hershey. Maybe some of the issues are mental. I'm not quite sure, but this will be a telling season for his development to see where he is and if he really has a future in this organization.
Yeah, another guy. I think Galiev's going to really bring a lot to Hershey. Just he trained with Semyon Varlamov over the summer in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So it seems like he's definitely taking this serious, and I think he'll do well in Hershey this time around. Another guy I want to bring up who I didn't really know a lot of information before this preseason game, but Chandler Stephenson, I've been really impressed with his work. He's worked a lot with Brouwer, and you heard him his name a lot on the broadcast because he was constantly getting his stick on the puck, and he was working really hard on the ice. I still don't know a lot about the guy. I don't know what his background is or anything like that, but he's definitely playing like he wants to. You know, he wants to be in Reading or Hershey. But Stephenson, he seems like another up and comer that we got to keep an eye out for.
I think a lot of these guys, you use them as sort of depth players that, you know, maybe they come out and actually end up being a guy like Steven Alexi who take a little longer to develop or maybe something like that. I think it's good to have a lot of depth players. I think good organizations are able – you have your core, especially when you have a salary cap. You have your core guys that make a pretty good amount of money. And then once a guy is up and coming, he gets to that point where he's going to make more, you let him go and you replace him with another younger player. Teams like the Red Wings have been doing that for years. I'd like to see the Caps start doing that. You know, eventually you're going to have to move on from guys like Beagle, Chimera, and whatever else, and Matty P, and you replace them with guys from the minors. So it's nice to see that these players that they've drafted are starting to come up and do certain things. It'll be interesting to see where these guys end up in either Reading or Hershey.
Yeah, and a guy that's been to Hershey and been away and came back, we got to bring up his shootout goal in Philadelphia, Joe Reklich. I got to say, he gave John Walton probably one of the greatest calls in John Walton's career. Just the fact that John Walton goes, oh my goodness, Joe Reklich up for the shootout. Because this guy is a goon of goons. I mean, he is not known for his goals. He's been in the AHL, NHL level for 8 years. He has 3 goals in 8 years. The guy's not known for his shooting capability. Don't get me wrong. He's a great guy. I'm a big fan of Joel. I was sad to see him leave Hershey, but I'm glad he's back. And he gets the bobble fist in December that we talked about. So kind of known for using his fist more than the stick. But wow, what a shootout goal for him in Philadelphia.
I wonder how much of that goal was a result of the goalie being like, yeah, right, this dude's not going to be able to score. And he puts it, you're like, ah, oh, crap. And you're just like, you don't want to go in the locker room because you know the other guys are going to give you a lot of grief. It didn't even look like he knew it went in. He was just kind of like, ah, screw it. I'll just shoot. Oh, hey, it worked. Okay. I guess I'll take that one. But, you know, it's one of those things where no one really expected. I think that's why Walton's call was so crazy, because you can almost feel like he was just like, all right, so, you know, he'll do this, and he's going to shoot. We'll move on to that. Oh, hey, he scored. No kidding. All right, good job.
All right, so let's talk about the Baltimore game. That was the one at least closest to the normal place that the Capitals play. This is the second Baltimore Hockey Classic. I'm ecstatic that the Capitals come up to Baltimore and play a game, because I'm a guy who lives in Baltimore and goes to see the Capitals all the time down at Verizon Center. So I'm glad that they know that they have a huge fan base in Baltimore, and they want to pay those fans back a little bit by playing a game up here. But if there's one thing that this game has really shown us, it's that the Baltimore Arena needs a facelift. You can see it on TV. I didn't get to go to the game because ticket prices were a little bit too high for me. But just the arena is just in bad shape, and it really needs a new arena put into the city. I really think it would help boost the city up a little bit. But the thing is, why build a new arena if you don't have a team to put in it? So like it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you build a new arena when you get a team, or do you just build an arena hoping a team will come to you?
Yeah, aren't they building a new arena in, like, I forget where, but, like, somewhere near, not real close to the Ravens Stadium in Camden Yards, but aren't they building a new one? It'd be nice to be able to go when they go up to Baltimore and be able to play in a new arena, because as sort of quaint as Baltimore Arena is, First Mariner Arena is, it's kind of run down a little bit. It's like when you go to see a DC United game or when the Nats play at RFK, you're like, this is really quaint and nice, but holy crap, it's a dump. You know, it's nice to see it, but the ice, at least, I think, was a little better than last time. They couldn't see the concrete in the corners. I don't think quite as much as the first game 2 years ago. But when the ice fell out, because Ovechkin broke Baltimore Arena, apparently. Right? He went and hit the ice, and he broke the freaking building. So there's certainly some problems that go around. I don't know if it's so much the arena, if it's maybe the people. I know the guy who runs the arena came out before the game and said that they were embarrassed after the first time 2 years ago, because that they just weren't – they thought – you know, they were like, oh, we have Disney on ice, so it's basically the same thing. Not so much, guys. It's not quite the same thing. So they tried to do a little better this time, and it still was kind of crappy. And it wasn't hot out.
No,
you know, it was a chilly day, so it's kind of a problem. They're going to have to do a better job next time. Why not just bring up the guys from Verizon? I mean, their ice isn't, like, great, but it's better than apparently they had in Baltimore Arena. So it's certainly something to be worried about if they're going to continue to have these games going forward.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I would be so excited and so happy if Baltimore were to get a minor league hockey team. I know that's not going to happen, but I would be happy. I would love to see hockey back in there, because before that game actually started, I actually loved watching Capital Central, because it really showed how much hockey history is in that building and in this town. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles were a hockey club back in the 40s. You know, you have the Clippers, the Skipjacks. I remember growing up going to Bandits games. I had no idea there was so much callback, because Alan May played in the Baltimore Arena. Ole Kolzig was a Skipjacks goalie, and the head trainer for the Capitals was one of the assistant trainers for the Bandits back in the 90s. So the Capitals and Baltimore definitely have a huge connection there. But the, you know, Ovechkin hitting into the glass, I don't really think those guys knew what to do. It looked like he just hit that perfect spot, because there's a hole in that glass for photographers to stick their camera lens through and get a photo. And it seems like he hit like that perfect spot where that hole was to just break the glass in half. And I don't think the Baltimore Arena really knew what to do, because they're like, listen, you got 4 minutes left in this period. It's probably going to take us about a half hour. Why don't you just go to intermission now? And
yeah. When they said they're going to do it, I was like, oh my God, you definitely know it's the preseason now.
Yeah, where they're like, ah, we'll just do that. It was funny, Tuukka Rask and Holpe were sitting together on bar stools.
They were just like chilling. They're like, ah, just watching a game, hanging out, having a couple beers. Can Holpe even drink at this point? But they were just kind of hanging out. That was pretty funny to see them. You know, at least there wasn't. It'd been awkward if they didn't like each other, because that sitting there, that would just been weird.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Best part though, you gotta agree with me on this. Hockey game in Baltimore, somebody threw a crab onto the ice.
That was funny. I was like, ah, you know, you're Baltimore, you goofballs.
So I whoever that was, I mean, you probably shouldn't be throwing
well
stuff on the ice, but shout out to you, man. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well played, sir or ma'am.
But hey, I absolutely love the idea of hockey back in Baltimore. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully the Capitals come back. I mean, from what I understand, like Rod Langway did an interview and he was like, I wish there were more people here. So hopefully, like, there wasn't low ticket sales or anything like that. I know they were doing like a living social deal, trying to get people to come and everything. The tickets just killed me for preseason. I even tried to do the living social deal, but after trying to buy two tickets, there were $19 of Ticketmaster charges, and I was not happy about that at all. I mean, come on. I mean, I know it's preseason. I know it's a special event in Baltimore, but geez, those ticket prices were just a little too much for me. But that's just me. But let's just move on from the preseason game and kind of talk about some of the things the Caps got to deal with now. Is we got new rules by the NHL. They're doing a few things in preseason, at least. They're trying out hybrid icing. They're making the goals a little bit shallower so people can kind of get around the net a little bit quicker, and that's definitely affecting the goaltending. Goaltenders have to wear new pads, and there's that new tuck rule that we were talking about earlier that Ovechkin has come out, and he is not a fan of that at all, because he's a guy that's known to tuck his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of silly that the NHL has come out and made a big deal about that. I don't really understand their argument as to in why they would not want players to tuck their jersey. It looks like former Capital Alexander Semin is the first one to get the penalty, which is kind of funny and interesting. But it's silly. I don't understand the point in it. You know, I don't think it's a big deal if you are forced to not tuck in your jersey. So, I mean, I think it's more of a thing where the NHL is just kind of, you know, I wouldn't say they're trying to stick it to the players or anything, but it's just kind of stupid. And Ovechkin made the point that, like, they didn't say anything to the Players Association or any of the players before they did that. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, you know, why not just send a little thing out saying, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing. What do you guys think? Because if it's, I don't think it affects the game at all. I mean, if anything, okay, so you tuck it in, it's kind of harder for people to see your number. Maybe you do it for a marketing standpoint. But even then, there weren't that many players, I don't think, that were tucking it anyways. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal. And if anything, that could be marketed as sort of like his style. But, you know, you thought they spent so much money on marketing during the lockout to find out how they could get the fans to turn against the players and be on their side. You think they figure out how to make these other things work too. But, I mean, some of the rules I like. The net change, I think, is going to be an interesting thing to watch throughout the season. I think a lot of the changes that will affect the game, we're going to have to see how they actually work during the season, to see how the players adapt and see if it makes that big of a difference. I know when they switched to having that trapezoid behind the net, it took the goalies a little while to figure it out, and I think it certainly sped up the game once the goalies figured it all out and they were able to keep things going. And it was nice to see. So in the end, we'll see how those things go. I can't really make an observation one way or the other just yet.
Yeah, the hybrid icing, I think, it's a different idea. They use it at the college level, but the big thing with that is they're just worried about player safety, because these guys are going full sprint, and if they have to get past, you know, that last line on the ice, then a lot of the guys run right into the walls, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a huge deal about concussions right now in every league, not just hockey. So they're kind of trying to prevent the hybrid icings to help to prevent some concussions, the guys going into the board, but back to the jersey.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But that was definitely a good point. The hybrid icing, I think, would be interesting. It certainly would force teams to think about dumping the puck a little more, because there isn't that opportunity to send one of your speedy guys down to get down there and be able to pick off the puck, unless they're able to get down there before it gets past the line. But that'll be one interesting to see. I like it to an extent, because you won't have your players potentially getting injured. You know, you have your defenseman going back there to touch up, and some schmuck forward comes flying down and knocks him into the boards. Potentially busting his knee, or, you know, just busting Mike Green one way or the other. Or, you know, you have your forward flying down there and ends up trying to stop and touch the puck and going hard into the boards, injuring a knee, ankle, head, elbow, body, some sort of thing. So I think that one won't be as bad. It'll certainly force teams to think about it a little bit. And I think if they do end up going with that one, you'll have some teams that get called for that a lot early on as they make their adjustments.
Yeah, real quick back to the tuck rule. They said this has always been a rule. They just never really enforced it. It used to be the whole Gretzky
whatever.
Thing.
Whatever. If you have a rule, enforce it. Don't be like, oh, now we're going to do it, you freaking pansies. Either do it one way or the other. I don't know. I don't understand what the big deal is. You know, so, I mean, NHL, there's so many things the NHL does where you're like, what is wrong with you?
I was listening to the NHL Network on Sirius driving to work the other day. They were talking about this tuck rule, but they were talking about another rule where they're – I don't know if this is true or not, but again, I did listen to it on NHL radio. It may have just been two of the hosts just kind of being like, eh, we'll talk about this now. But they were supposedly saying that they wanted to get rid of playoff beards. Because they thought that the guys looked like grizzly guys off the mountain when they had the Stanley Cup, and that wasn't good for marketing and good for TV, because they look like these crazy mountain men and not, you know, the young hip guys.
No,
they are.
It's not the freaking Jersey Shore. It's the NHL. Leave it alone, Bettman. Jesus Christ.
So if that's
okay. You make all these changes. The goalie pads are smaller. You make hybridizing. Trapezoid, no tuck of the jersey, fine, whatever. But if you're going to start screwing with tradition in the sense of the playoff beard, knock it off, okay? Stop it. You're going too far, NHL. Stop this crap. You're not the NFL. You're never going to be the NFL. You're not going to be the NBA. You maybe can catch up to Major League Baseball, but probably not. You are who you are. Embrace that you are the NHL and that you are a niche sport. That's the way it's going to work. If you try and make yourself just like everybody else, then it's not going to be as much fun. The playoff beard, if they start doing that, I mean, Ovechkin kind of has to because he has that deal with Gillette or whatever it is. Whatever. That's fine. Speaking of that, have you ever noticed that Ovechkin looks like he's got a grayer hair now?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely salt and pepper now.
Now ripping over there? What's going on? But anyways, but yeah, NHL, the playoff beard, leave it alone. Okay, that's one of the – it's silly. And they're not the only league that does that, I believe. But it's silly, but like, just leave it alone. Stop messing with every little detail. Leave the fun things alone. You already messed with a lot of the other fun things and took away half a season last year. Don't mess with the beards.
That's good. Coach Dan getting fired up.
just season hasn't even started yet, and I'm already getting pissed off.
So have we covered everything for the Capitals?
I don't know. I'm so angry. No, I think we've covered most of this stuff right now. I mean, we still have a little time to go before the season starts. I'm just ready to have some real games, and I swear to God, if they have one more overtime game and somebody gets hurt, I'm pissed. That's like the one thing you don't need, a game that doesn't freaking matter. You know, it's like you talk about the NFL preseason. They're like, oh, this guy did that. And you're like, who gives a crap? The whole thing is you want these guys to get – like I was talking to my girlfriend about the game, and she actually watched the Nats game the other night. I was like, well, the Caps game is on. She's like, yeah, but it's a preseason. Who cares? I'm like, that's a good point. And she's like, well, really, the games are for the guys, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Johansson, Green, the guys that are going to be on the team, Carlson, Olsner, blah, blah, blah. It's to get them into game shape and get up to game speed, because while you do this for a living, you know, you have a long off season, even if it's not that long. You get out of that sort of mental mode of everything. So it's to get them back into that. And so for the young guys to have a shot at either playing on this team, playing in the minors, or if they get cut completely, to be able to latch on with somebody else. So it's still fun to watch. But the preseason, it's just not as exciting. It's really, I want to see if these guys can get back into the flow of playing and be ready day one, which they didn't have an opportunity to last year. So as long as there's no more freaking overtime, shootout, fine. The thing is, if that's the thing I wanted to say, if you go through three periods and you're tied, just go straight to the shootout. Don't give them five more minutes to hurt each other, okay? No one hit each other. Just go straight to the shootout so no one can get hurt. And if anybody gets hurt in the shootout, you suck. Because, like, you're not hitting – like, Green – well, he didn't get hurt, but when he, like, forgot the puck the other night, I was like, dumbass, what are you doing? Like, get the puck back. That was one of those things we've done in the regular season. Like, if he comes over to the bench and Oates is like, I'm going to smack you or something. Like, the guys are apparently laughing at Green because he forgot the puck. It's not that big of a deal, but, you know, that's what the preseason is for. It's to get you back into game shape and ready to go. No more overtime, because I don't want to have extra time for guys to get hurt.
Well, now that the kind of special exhibition games are over, I think you're going to see a lot of the main guys maybe not play as much. You're going to see a lot of the younger guys really showcasing what they're bringing to the table. So I don't think you're going to see Ovi playing a full game much longer. I mean, I think he played full games, especially after taking that stick to the face in Belleville because he was in Belleville. And I think he played most of Baltimore because he was in Baltimore. I don't really see these guys getting a lot more time because they're not going to be, like, you know, special coming attractions.
That's a good point. I would agree with that. I think, what do they have? They got, what, five left? I'm looking at the schedule right now. I could see I'd like to see Ovechkin at least play in three of the five left, because I want, and if anything, you can have him take two off and play the next three, which are Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. You need him to, he'll probably miss a Saturday one, or even Friday, Saturday, because he's got to go over to Greece for the whole torch thingy. I want to see him get into that game shape. We need to make sure that with day one, because it's like the old Caps, they always started out the season slow and then had to catch up the rest of the way. You know, you don't want them doing that anymore. You want them to start strong and to go out and get a lead point-wise, because they're in a tough division now. There's no more screwing around. You don't have the Florida teams, Carolina and Atlanta at one point, and Winnipeg just to mess around with. Now you got real serious hockey towns, real serious hockey teams to play against. Now, you know, you have to get out and play strong, because if you fall behind, you may not be able to catch up. So I want to see these guys playing. I want to see the guys who are going to be on the team. Five games left. I'd like to see them at least to play three of them.
Yeah, they got to be healthy. I don't want them to get hurt and anything like that. But yeah, they definitely need to get back into game shape. And you need to get that chemistry back, especially with the new center, Grabowski. Really, you got to get him with Brouwer and Erat as much as possible, because these guys, they're going to have a huge role to play this upcoming season. So they need to play together as much as possible. So I think we've pretty much covered everything for the Capitals. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on around the NHL. So hang with us. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
What the puck? What the puck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Thanks so much for listening to the show, and a big thank you goes out to everybody who's listening to us from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. We are so happy to be a part of the network. It's a big family over there, and we're repping the Caps, and very happy to be a part of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Thank you so much for listening. But right now, here we go. We are going to go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about what's going on around the NHL. Like we've said all show, this is all preseason, so there's not too much going on, but Coach Dan, he's going to keep us up to date. So what's going on around the NHL?
We got a couple of things I can bring up, but a lot of teams are just right now is figuring out their rosters, playing some preseason games. A couple of things going on in Florida. It looks like they've decided to bring in Tim Thomas. They've given him a little tryout period to see if he's able to come back after a year off. That looked like they're looking between him and Brizgalov at one point, and I was just like, so you get Tim Thomas, who's like kind of normal crazy, and Brizgalov, who's like space out in the middle of nowhere crazy. So you get one or the other. It'll be an interesting thing to see what happens going forward. I don't think Thomas is going to be as good as he used to be after a year off. That's a lot of time to not be playing hockey. I mean, he says he feels reborn. He said, after 14 years of pro hockey, I got tired and needed a break. Now I'm energized and looking forward to it. Yeah, well, the problem is you're playing in Florida, buddy. I don't know if you saw that picture of their preseason game, their first home preseason game the other day. It looked like there were about 18 people in the entire arena. It was really, really bad.
There were more players than fans at that game.
I'm pretty sure that's true. It was embarrassing, but maybe these new owners that they are apparently having will be able to help things out. TSN is reporting that the Florida Panthers will have a new owner in the near future. Apparently a group of businessmen, I'm guessing, from New York have decided to purchase the team. No word yet if they'll be moving them or anything like that. We'll see what happens. Maybe changing their jerseys so they don't look like a freaking minor league team. But one way or the other, Florida will be having potentially new owners in the next few weeks, and maybe they'll actually be able to get more than 12 fans in the arena at one time.
Well, who schedules any sort of game, especially a hockey game, in Florida that's not really known for being a hockey state at 2:30 on a Monday in September?
Great plan, guys.
What the hell?
Well, the other thing is, like, apparently the Rays had a very important game against the Rangers as they attempt to make the playoffs. I believe they're currently leading the Orioles by a couple of games in the wild card race. They had something like 11,000 fans in their thing. So maybe it's an entire Florida thing that they're not going. Or maybe it's because they're day games on a Monday and people don't want to play hockey from work and kids don't want to skip school. That's kind of thing, you know. So I don't know what it was, but that was sort of embarrassing. But yeah, 2:30 on a Monday for it's a preseason game, so you're already not going to draw great. You know, why would you put 2:30? That just doesn't make sense to me. That's just – Poor planning, gentlemen. Poor planning all around. But in other NHL news, the Winnipeg Jets have signed their GM, Kevin Cheveldayoff. I have no idea if I pronounced that correctly, to a new 5-year contract. So that'll be good for them. I actually think he's done a pretty good job. I actually will like that I'll be able to actually follow the Jets, not hate them, because they're no longer in the Southeast Division. Because that, of course, made sense to begin with.
Yeah.
And then Paul Bissonnette, who is a lot of fun to follow on Twitter. I don't know if you do, but that he's a goofy dude. He's been suspended for 10 regular season games by the NHL Department of Player Safety after he left the bench to get involved in a fight or brawl in an exhibition game, by the way, against the LA Kings. I love the heart, but what are you doing, dude? It's an exhibition. Although I believe actually this was after the open ice hit that knocked Rostislav Klesa into another dimension.
Yeah.
So I can understand why he would be upset, but do it when it's your turn. Okay, now you sort of potentially hurt your team going forward, but it looks like the NHL Players Association has appealed the 10-game suspension on his behalf, so that'll be something to watch going forward. I don't believe he said anything on Twitter about it just yet, so that'll be entertaining. Yeah. My guess is that he's not going to say anything because he probably doesn't get in any more trouble.
But the 10-game thing is just that's what you get when you leave the bench to go fight on the ice. I mean, that's not even like, you know, because he's a repeat offender or anything like that. That's just what you get. You are not allowed to leave the bench to go fight a guy. I mean, those are the rules.
If it was Ovechkin, they would have given him 50 games.
Yeah. he's been suspended a few times already, so he would have probably...
Yeah, he's a repeat offender, even though it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's pretty much all of the really interesting NHL news. Just looking forward to the season to start, so we actually have some interesting NHL things to talk about.
That's right. It's not far away. October 1st, it's going to be the Capitals up against the Blackhawks in Chicago. And it's actually kind of funny because, we'll talk about this later down the road, but Chicago really spoiled the LA Kings banner raising because they raised that banner and then the Blackhawks just murdered the Kings that first game back. So that was that's going to be something to kind of think about now that the Capitals are going to be going to Chicago for that first game when they raise their banner. So let's we'll see what happens there.
Mess them up.
But that's pretty much it for the show. So there's plenty of ways you guys can talk to us if you want to talk some puck. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me over at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. I actually am working on a new article in my head that I hope to have an opportunity in the next couple of days to get out and onto the website. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. That's where you'll find information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Also, since you're on Facebook already, go like the What the Puck Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's. Make sure you have two P's in that address. WTP Podcast. The show is actually on Twitter as well. WTP_podcast. So you can reach us no matter what social media network you're on. But the best thing you can do to help us out is to let somebody else know about the show. So if you're a Caps fan and you have hockey fans, you got hockey in your blood, make sure you let people know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, anything you use to be social on the web, let them know that they should be listening to What the Puck. Also, there's plenty of ways. We've just expanded how many ways you can listen to this show. We are on iTunes. If you're enjoying the new iOS 7, you can download What the Puck through the podcast app on your device or through iTunes on your computer. If while you're there, leave us an iTunes review. Let us know what you think about the show. If you're on Android, you can get the Stitcher Radio app. It's completely free, and you can download the app, set us as one of your favorite stations. And if you're on a desktop, you can go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Listen to us while you're bored at work. And we just joined the Baltimore Sports Report Network, so you can listen to the shows through them. Go to BaltimoreSportsReport.com to get information about this show and all the other shows they have on their network as well. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck. We'll be back next week. And if you're going to the game this Friday, it's Caps versus the Blackhawks in DC. Make sure you tell me where you're sitting and I'll try to stop by and say hi. I'm going to be at that game. Very excited to see the Capitals on the ice at Verizon Center. Thank you so much for listening to What the Puck. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Gretzky used you're going to censor yourself? You just stopped right there.
I wasn't going to. Oh, wait, man. It's the first time on the new network. I don't know what their issue is with profanity. But anyways. No, I mean. Okay.
That sounded weird.
Yeah, it's fine.
Hey, thanks for listening so far, guys. We're doing some morning radio. Here's some morning coffee for you. All right, thank you. I'm going to start that over. That's too many thank yous.
I would just like everyone out there in Caps World to know that Michael Norvirth loves new iOS 7. Just a heads up. He just tweeted that out about a minute ago.
All right, thanks so much for listening to the show. I want to say, I'm going to do that over. Thanks so much.
I think we should go with that one. Sorry, that was going to be a cool one. I cut you off, my bad. I had to say something, didn't I?
All right.